Thank you, Jesus. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful to look at those pictures, and I know some of y'all know me well, and others of you know me as a pastor. So, if you don't know me well, I'm a little bit syrupy, and I'm a romantic at heart. And so, when I see stuff like that, I get a little bit mushy, and I don't apologize for it. But here's what comes to my mind. I was laying in bed last night talking to Leah and just laughing. I wasn't laughing about the Gamecocks, so I rebuke that. I was laughing because I was thinking about 7 years ago, what's actually Tuesday, the 16th, and how much we didn't know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Some of y'all don't know, and some of y'all really do know, right? Because y'all were there at Pizza Inn in that year that we were there, and then as we moved over here and just seeing some of those construction and how exciting it was to come in here when the welcome area was at the back and the kids area was where our welcome is now, and just how God has slowly but definitely surely grown our church. Every single year, with no exceptions, God has grown our church. And as a result, hundreds of people have been saved and baptized. And y'all, I'm so thankful for that. Because if this was one man's dream, then one man's dream dies. But this is a community of believers. And I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for y'all. I'm thankful for the way that y'all serve like crazy. The way that y'all are open-handed. Y'all are such a blessing to pastor. And I just want you to know how much I love you. And on behalf of the staff and the leadership team, I just want to tell you how deeply, truly, all of us love you, and we love running with you. And I believe with all my heart that we are going to change the upstate, and we're going to change the world. And I just want y'all to know that. I love you. Come on. I believe that. Jesus' name. Awesome. All right, so thank y'all. We'll be more syrupy tonight, but we're going to have fun too. We're going to laugh and cut up and have a great time tonight, and I'll talk a little bit more about it at the end. But I'm going to jump in because I got a lot to talk about, and I'm pumped about this message. So let me say this to our guests, because I know we got some guests here today. Four Pointers, are we excited that our guests are here today? Come on. We're excited. I want to say this, and I didn't say this in the first service. I don't know why I'm saying it now, but I just feel like it. I heard someone say this week, why do we want to grow? And I was thinking to myself, for real? Is that a for real question? Like, why do you want your garden to grow? Why does anything want to grow? Why do we not want to stunt every growth? It's because when things grow, dead comes to life. And that's what we want to see. We are for. We say, we don't hide this. It's on the cards. We exist to reach the least lost and lonely. I'm just telling you, you can't stay small and to yourself and reach the least lost and lonely. If you understand what I'm saying, say yes.
Yes.
So that's why that answers that. But we don't want to grow big just to grow big. We want to grow big to change the culture. Because I'm pretty sure y'all have looked out this week and last week and every week. And y'all have seen the culture that exists in this world today. And it'd be awesome if one would be better than that one. The only way to change the culture is to grow one bigger and better than the one currently exists. You can't talk it to death. Because they just look at you. But when an army rises up, the devil better watch out. He better not cry. So we're honored that you're here. I'm pumped. And I believe no matter if you grew up in church or if today's the first time you've been to church, today's for you. Because y'all, God's given me a word, and it's actually not real complicated. I'm not going to read you 500 verses. It's going to be pretty simple. But I need you to be open-hearted, because this one's going to sit heavy on everyone. Because it's surely sitting heavy on me. So I'm thankful that we get to celebrate this. And I'm thankful for all that God's going to do in the future. But it's time to rock and roll. So I'm going to start with a verse today. I normally don't do that. But I'm going to start with a verse today, because this is the takeoff and landing spot. Matthew chapter 13, one verse. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, one of my favorite verses because it is, the meaning is so different than what people perceive and what I naturally perceived as well. It's the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. Everybody say treasure. Treasure. Kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he had and buys the field. So the title of my message today, there's probably three titles. I went back and forth, but it's hidden treasure. Hidden treasure. Someone say hidden treasure.
Hidden treasure.
Hidden treasure. What are some things that we know about hidden treasure? In order to find the hidden treasure, what do you have to do? You got to dig. Some of y'all thought about the dudes on the beach. When y'all go to the beach, they have to skip, 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 and they wear the things that are too small and all that. Anyway. Get that image out of y'all's head real quick. But, so I'm not talking about that hidden treasure because those dudes are sitting out there looking for a ring or looking for whatever. I'm talking about treasure. I think about pirates and I don't even know why. I give me hidden treasure and then, you know, the black pearl and, oh, yeah, no. I don't know why, but they're always looking for treasure. And the truth is, they're hilarious, and one of them wears a patch, and the other one has a hook, and they all are weird, and they don't take showers, and I'm not sure why that is, and we all know that's true, and then they all love rum, and that's about all I know about pirates. And for some reason, they all lived in the Caribbean, so I guess if you go on a cruise ship, you might see one of them dudes. But they're not the only ones that are treasure hunters. As a matter of fact, I would argue that each one of us are treasure hunters, because each one of us do exactly what Matthew 13 verse 44 says, the kingdom is like a treasure hidden in a field. See, watch this. Each one of us have something inside of us that we wish everybody could see. Each one of us have some kind of gift, even if you don't know Jesus, by the way, each one of us have a gift, something that we wish we would be appreciated by the world. If you understand what I'm saying, say yes. And so there's this deep desire, no matter if you're an extrovert or introvert, no matter what we have in our lives, all of us want to matter. All of us want to be significant. Different generations say different things matter to them, but every generation wants to make an impact. Everyone wants to matter. And the problem is, through me, to get to the treasure, you got to dig through the... Don't be shy. We talking here. You got to dig through the... the dirt. How many of y'all know that ain't good? We don't have to be shy about me. If y'all want to talk about me, we can. Because there's a lot of dirt to dig through. You know how I know that? Because I live with me. And you know how I know you have a lot of dirt? Some of you are like, you don't know me. Please don't look at me. Don't say nothing about me. I don't have to know you got dirt. Why? I'm going to teach y'all something, then y'all can look it up for yourselves. The name Adam in the original language, Adam, does not mean first man. It means dirt man or man from the dirt. And God took dirt, Genesis, very beginning. God took dirt and he picked it up, and it actually says the dust of the ground, but if you want to get technical, that's dirt. All right, y'all with me? He took dust, he took dirt, and he went and blew, and a man happened. If y'all are tracking so far, say yes.
Yes.
So every one of us are dirt bags. Ladies, some of y'all can say, well, we came from y'all. You're right. You're right. But every human being comes from the sin or the person of Adam, so all of us come from dirt. As a result, it don't take much to dig up dirt. I mean, literally and figuratively, it's weird, but we're going to go back. The Bible says that the dust I came from and the dust, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, I'm going back to the dirt. It don't matter how spiritual you think I am. It doesn't matter if you think that I glow in the dark when I get home because I'm the anointed of God. It does not matter what you believe about me when I die. It's going down for real. Like I'm going to the dirt. They can't do anything to me. They can put me in a mummy suit, but eventually I'm going to go back to the dirt. I'm full of dirt. I was watching the Kavanaugh hearings. It doesn't matter where you stand on this. You know how I feel about about politics. I love Democrats. I love Republicans. I think all of them are crazy, so to God be the glory. But it doesn't matter where you stand. You could think that he should be in jail. You could be celebrating that he's now SCOTUS, that he's a Supreme Court justice. But each one of us probably in our hearts felt what I felt. This is what I felt. I'm going to talk about you in a second, don't worry. Thank you, Jesus, that I ain't on that stand. Y'all better not stay quiet, because I'm going to call all of you out if you stay quiet. Here's what I was thinking. That's why I'm going to call you out. My best friend in the whole world since I've been 8, sitting right there. And my wife and my mom's, so I can't hide nothing. Because we got the triangle right here that they know everything. Between them three. And then Austin, I've worked with you for 10 years, so you can just add to it. You're like the sprinkle dust on top of it. Y'all, I don't think there's anything y'all don't know. But there's some things I don't want them to know. You can say amen. Because this is what I'm thinking. If they see, if one person finds out about one day with me and you when we was about 14, I'm thinking, my God, that witness stand would be terrible. And then I put my hand on the Bible, so I got to tell the truth, and I don't even know what I'm going to do. Right? I'm just thinking, I was crazy. Now, by the grace of God, we didn't do too much, and we didn't go to jail. I didn't say we couldn't have. Y'all better talk to me in here, because I know y'all. Some of y'all, I really know y'all. Y'all like, you don't know me. I do too. It always makes me laugh when I hear people talk about their kids. And their kid, they come home and they're like, my kid was talking all day in class. And I'm thinking, is that all? Y'all ever say that? Leah will talk about, Haston had a rough week. Tell me what he did. This and this and this. And I was like, that's the rough week. We did it. Right? I mean, my, we made it. Why? Because I have dirt. I know me. It's rough. It's tough. You know, someone say hidden treasure. The interesting thing is when, and I'm going to talk to Christians just for a minute, but if you don't know Jesus, just stay with me because this message is really for you. But the interesting thing about being saved is that once you're saved, it's like, and I think y'all will know what I'm talking about because I don't think I'm by myself on this. It's like somehow we turn from hell to Moses. You know what I'm talking about? And we feel like we're supposed to put our staff out and part the Red Sea around everybody and show them how spiritual we are. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? So now all of a sudden I become the police for everybody and how you're supposed to live. Is it awkward? Because I feel like I'm telling the truth and y'all are looking at me like, how's he know that's what I did? Because I remember zeal. I remember excitement. Because I really believe that I really knew the Lord. I trusted the Lord before the summer before my senior year in high school. And I really did walk with God. But some things started coming inside that God did not like. Because I began to police people, watch this, rather than to see the treasure that was inside. So here's what religious people would argue. Religious people would say, yeah, but there's no treasure inside because they're not saved yet. I got news for them. You can believe that if you want to, but my Bible says in the first chapter of the first book, very beginning, Genesis 1:26, God has a council with himself, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and says, hey, let's all get together and have this conversation. Let us, watch it, you read it for yourself, verse 26, make man in our image. And then verse 27, in the image of God, I was created, and you were created. So no matter if you believe God exists or not, you can believe that God is not even real. You are an image bearer of our Lord. You are a mirror of God. He made you to look like himself. You are not God, but you're an image of him. And so I have on me and in me what should be this beautiful treasure, but it's to those who receive him that he gives life to have his own name, to be a child of God and to be the righteousness of God. It's only to those who receive him that the gift comes out, that I receive the gift in and then what he's put in me begins to be exercised. But the problem is, I love to tell you how you're wrong and tell you like it is. It makes me feel better about my own dirt. Because I'm just going to tell you, it ain't fun to have your own soil. That's this, by the way, excavated, moved around, pulled up, because there's plenty in there. See, in order to find treasure, you got to, what's this word?
Dig.
And I think all of us are cool with that. I think all of us are cool with that statement. As a matter of fact, I read this week, treasure hunters will tell you in order to find 1 ounce of gold, listen to this stat, 1 ounce, that's not a ton of money. I don't know what the ounce is right now, and for me, it's a lot of money, but if that's all you're doing, you got to move at least a ton of dirt per ounce of gold. That's a lot of dirt. Until I realize, not literally, but figuratively speaking, how much dirt I must have to move to get to an ounce. Because it's probably more than a ton. I mean, we throw that word ton around, but I mean literally 2,000 pounds. But spiritually speaking, in my life, gracious, it's got to be a lot. Here's the problem. Whenever I know there's got to be some digging to find the treasure that's hidden inside of you and inside of me, I get tired of it. I get frustrated with it. You say something or do something to me that I do not like, and then all of a sudden I flip, and it becomes a Senate hearing and Kavanaugh's on the witness stand. Because I'm going to tell you, it's real easy to pull up dirt with a finger pointed. I don't have to look long. I can start calling dirt out. And you know, I just believe that the enemy, that's the devil. There's a real devil, by the way. I just believe that he's happy when we do that. So this is what I felt compelled to say today, and I don't like it. I just want y'all to know the truth. I hate this part of this message because I'm embarrassed. When I was in my 20s, I got a job teaching Bible. Some of y'all took my Bible class. I loved it. I loved coaching so much. I miss it. It's a great school. Great teams. I loved it. Very zealous. I was very zealous. Very excited about the Lord. And I meant well. I want y'all to know this. You know who else I think meant well in the Bible? The Pharisees. They meant well. Mom, you'll probably remember this. I remember doing a devotion during teacher work days leading up to school to all the teachers in the school. And I don't even know why I was doing it. I think I was talking about worldviews or something. And I put a clip of Pastor Joel Osteen on there from when he was on, young people, you won't recognize this name maybe, but Larry King Live. Y'all with me? About 15 years ago, he was on there. Now, I'm going to say this for the record. He did not do a very good job on that show. I mean, like, he bombed it. It was bad. But I proceeded to take about a 3-minute clip and undress him like he was Satan himself. As a matter of fact, I said things, if I recall correctly, that basically said he was one of the worst people on the planet and he's sending people to hell. I never felt conviction about that. I knew in my heart I was right. That the dirt on him was disgusting. You know, it's just interesting when God begins to change your heart, how he changes your perspective. I've learned this in the last few years. How you perceive someone is how you receive someone. How you perceive is how you receive. So if you perceive me as an idiot, guess what? You're getting an idiot's dose of word today. Did you know that? Did you know when you leave and my message ain't good, it's probably because you didn't listen good? Because I studied and I'm going to be me, but it's probably because you didn't have good ears to listen. Oh, he's offensive. That's what you perceive. I'm serious. I'm not trying to be hateful at all. I perceived him as a fool. And then something crazy happened. God began to change my heart about 5 years ago by putting new people in my life, new friendships. I didn't even know what a spiritual father was because I thought that your dad was your spiritual father and that's all it was. And I thought that Catholic people had spiritual fathers because they called their priest father, right? So that must be what that's about and we're good and whatever. But then the rest of it's weird. Until I got one. And the interesting thing about the one that I got is if you would have lined up 100 people that I would have picked from a lineup, he wouldn't have been in the 100. I'm Baptist. You can't pick a Pentecostal to be my spiritual daddy. That ain't in my book. I wrote this thing, God. But God had different plans. My life is completely different, y'all. I don't know if you know me or you don't know me, but I'm a different person now. And I was with him. This is Pastor Ron Carpenter, if y'all don't know. I'll just say who it is. And I know him personally, like on a level that's not, I see him at an event and he waves at me. I've gone on vacation with him. I've stayed in his house. I know him that well. And 2 weeks ago, I was with him and he talked about Pastor Joel Osteen. Now, 5 years ago, someone changed my opinion of him and said, maybe, watch this, you should just listen to a whole message without making an opinion of him in 5 minutes or in a 5 second clip or in a 10 second or even 5 minute clip. This is the question. Have you ever watched the whole message? I ain't watching the whole message. That guy's an idiot. So I went and watched the whole message, and his message was about how to receive Jesus as your Savior. Like, well, that don't fit what I wanted it to fit. I'll watch another one. I've watched probably 25 of his messages. I've never not heard him preach the gospel. Never. It may not be my style. And then 2 weeks ago, Pastor Ron said, for whatever reason, I think God wants me to be friends with him. And so I've spent one-on-one time with him lately. I'm letting y'all weigh in. Y'all can say whatever you want about the message, but I'm giving y'all a lot of information that's personal, but it matters. So he spent one-on-one time with him. They were talking. He said, listen, I know you see him, and he's the most well-known pastor probably in America. I asked the first service to raise their hand. I think only 3 people had never heard of him. It's crazy. Love him or hate him, you've heard of him. And he said, it's crazy. He's the same exact thing that you see on TV in person. He said, this dude with that big of a following, he's got 10 million followers on Twitter. 10 million. I got 10. You know what I'm talking about? 10 million. He said, this is literally what he said. He said, he looked down and he was just, he wouldn't even make eye contact. He's so humble, he wouldn't even make eye contact. But you know, Ron, I promise I'm not making this up. You know, when you speak, it just blows my mind. I just feel something. And you just got so much power from the Lord. And I don't have that. I want everybody to listen. Even if you don't want to care about my message, I want you to hear this part. You know, I never wanted to do this. You know, I was just excited to serve my daddy because my daddy started Lakewood. His daddy was a fireball preacher. Y'all need to look it up, John Osteen. I mean, that dude brought the heat. And that ain't Joel. Joel smiles and says, God's got a plan for your life and he loves you. But watch this. He said, you know, I went to work for my daddy in my early 20s. Because I love video. That's what I went to college to do. And I thought for the rest of my life, I get to serve beside my daddy and we get to reach people for Jesus. And then my daddy got cancer and I didn't ask for it. And he's got 2 brothers and his brothers are more talented than him by his own admission. But you know what I've learned about God is God doesn't look at talented, he looks at heart. And he was the one that God poured the oil on. This is what he told him. I'm trying real hard not to cry. He said, you know my own. I'm not beating myself up. I just feel so much conviction about the words I let come out of my mouth in the past. He said, you know the only thing I want people to experience that God's not mad at them? Yes. He said, I still watch this. A man with multi-million dollar ministry. He said, I love doing videos, so I still edit my own videos. I guess when you hem, you can. He said, I normally preach 40 to 42 minutes every Sunday, but I edit it to 28. My goal is in those 28 minutes, people can know that God has a plan for their life, that he deeply loves them, and that he's not mad at them. I don't expect that a lot of people will get saved because of my ministry. He said, watch my messages. I say every week, if you're not from Houston, find a Bible-believing church that gives life in Jesus' name. Every week, go watch it. He said, because my goal and what I believe my responsibility in the kingdom is to be a bridge. To be a bridge where churches who deeply love Jesus can have people that hear me and then get bridged into their house. And if I'd have met him 10 years ago, I think I'd have been hateful to his face. I said this at the end, I'm going to say it right now. You never would have heard this before. In a private conversation, this came out. He did these tours. He filled up Yankee Stadium, filled up all these other places. Did you know in America, in the United States, not around the world, but in the United States, just in his in-person preaching in the stadiums that they filled up, more people have gotten saved because of Joel Osteen's preaching that they got commitment cards back saying, I've trusted Jesus as Savior, than Billy Graham. Did you hear what I just said? But our perception was, he's just that smiling preacher. He don't have nothing to say, and he's a charlatan. Because what I perceive is what I receive. And I love to pull up the dirt because, y'all, he made a mess. He did not do a good job, and he said it. He talked about it three weeks ago, whenever it was, that is with Pastor Ron. He said, you know what? I'm not educated in the Bible. I deeply love the Lord, but I shouldn't have been on that show. He should not have. Different people have different callings. There are people that are amazing at apologetics, defending the faith. That ain't him. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't know the truth. It means he did a bad job. If I got judged for everything I said 10 years ago, or let me say it different, if everybody dug the dirt up on me, you sure wouldn't be listening to me right now. And the truth is, we all have a reason we don't want someone or us to dig. Are y'all with me? Yes. I'm going to preach this last part pretty quickly, but I think it's so important. Listen, I believe the Lord's already talking to some of you right now. What you perceive is what you receive. And watch how you perceive you in this moment. Because this is what I would have said. Who's this cat talking to? I'm good. It's interesting because Jesus actually talked about that when he gave John this vision in Revelation. When John wrote Revelation, he gave him this vision of these churches, and he said, here's the deal with these churches. And it's straight from the mouth of Jesus. And in chapter 3, verse 16, it says, because you're not hot or cold or lukewarm, I spew you out of my mouth. And watch this. He says this to the church of Laodicea. You say, I'm rich. I have acquired wealth. I don't need anything. I'm good. I see that you say there's a treasure and it's all about this Jesus person and all this stuff, whatever, but there's this, who cares? I don't have as much dirt as you have. It's not that big of a deal. I'm good to go. I'm fine. I'm whatever. So I don't really need Jesus. Watch this. Listen carefully. Here's what I need. I need Jesus to fix this issue, but I don't need Jesus above all. I can buy my way out, think my way out, or do my way out. Praise God for where we live. I'm not putting it down, but I'm telling you, Jesus is the cheapest sweet tea around here. We throw his name out like he's just a happenstance and not everything, that he's not the anchor for my soul like Hebrews 6:19 says. That's not what he is. He's an anchor when I get in trouble. I'll grab the anchor and try to put him there. Jesus, I need you now. Not realizing that I'm wretched and pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. And here's what Jesus said. I counsel you to buy, this is so good, from me gold refined in the fire. I love the refiner, and I don't have time to teach it, but I can tell you this. Malachi talks about he's the refiner and the launderer that cleans us from the inside out. The goal of the refiner is not to make pretty gold. Listen to this. The goal of the refiner is to see his reflection in whatever stone he's got in the fire. The goal of your Savior is not to make you good. If any man is in Christ, if any woman is in Christ, if any of us are in him, if we've trusted him as Lord, we're new creations. He lets you go through the fire so you can reflect him, not you. Not the good person that you think should be good. And once you get to that point, you can start digging up the dirt on somebody else. But to be exactly what he's called you to be in the exact lane that he's called you to be in, to fulfill the exact purpose that he's called you, not what someone else says you should be, but exactly what he says you should be. The reason we struggle with that is because we keep trying to define what God's already defined. We can't hear his voice. The only thing we want him for is, I need your help to swoop in and fix this situation. He's the whole solution. He says, I tell you so that you can become rich, not necessarily earthly rich, but rich in him. And wear white, which is purity, so that you can, this is so good, cover. Everybody say cover. Your shameful nakedness. I need y'all to just circle this in your mind as I close with this simple story. Because all of us have a desire to cover our shameful sin, our shameful dirt, our shameful nakedness. And then he says, I give you salve. And all that means is that what he puts on us gives us his perception, not our own. See, you can have the ability to see me right now without perceiving what God perceives. It's only through his vision that you can perceive someone full of a mess and pull out the treasure that's inside of them. I need y'all to just remember this right here. Cover. If you haven't listened to a word in these last couple minutes, I need you to hear this. I know some of y'all came in here today and someone tricked you into coming. Someone said, I'll take you to lunch if you come to church today. Thank you for tricking them and taking them to lunch. I hope it's not too painful, but I'm glad you came. But if you hadn't listened to anything so far, know this. Jesus sees the treasure in you. Let me say it again. Jesus looks at you and he doesn't see dirt. He's the one person that doesn't need a metal detector to find it. He sees straight to the heart. The Bible says that man looks at the outward appearance, but God sees the heart. He sees the hidden treasure that nobody else can see, naturally speaking. He died so that the treasure inside could come out. Watch this, and so he could put himself in you. So that his life could be in you. But the problem is, we want to believe this, but it's really tough. Why? Because we know the dirt. Because the dirt's the first thing we see. Because it's just so much easier to point out your dirt than to let him begin to excavate my heart and life. Going through the fire stinks. I want to just already be there. Every time we change, we feel like, maybe that's it, Jesus. Have I gotten there yet? Nope. There's another layer of impurities that have to come up, and he wipes it away, and he says, I see my reflection, but there's more, and there's more, and there's more, and I'm so thankful for that. Because if I was done, we would not be in good shape. But I'm thankful. I may not be where I'm going, but I'm not where I was either. Because he's changing my perception. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, I don't think you could have a better story to picture this. John chapter 8, and only seven verses, says, early in the morning he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him and sat down and taught them. And it says, the scribes and Pharisees, I think the reason that I love and hate this story is because I'm them. That part that I was describing of who was dragging Joel Osteen through the mud and standing him up in the middle of the room when I was talking to teachers. Oh, he may not have been there, but he was there. My mouth was crushing him because he wasn't me, because he didn't do it my way, because I felt like the Lord had given me the police badge to police everybody else and not just share the good news of Jesus. And it says that the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught. Everybody say caught. Caught as seeing the dirt. Caught as, aha, I caught you. You got dirt. And he says that this woman had been caught in adultery, and then placing her in the midst. That just means middle in the Greek and Hebrew. It says placing her in the midst, they said to Jesus, teacher, that woman's been caught in the act. Ha-ha, we got her now, and we got you. Let's see what's going to happen. side note, I just need y'all to know that if you get caught in the act, and I'm not trying to make a joke here, this is not a funny part, you're naked. They would not have given her time to dress her up. Please get this. They would not have given her time to dress her up and clothe her and try to not embarrass her too bad. The more embarrassed she could be, the better. Do you know that's how we are when we're out dirt digging? We don't care how bad it hurts them. We just want to make sure we can dig up as much dirt. I'm just telling you, beware of people that all they want to do is dig up dirt on somebody. You ought not spend time with them. I don't care how much they give you. Run. Someone say run. Because I got plenty of dirt. I don't need somebody else digging up more around me to see more. So they caught her and they pulled her by the hair, and they place her in the middle and she's naked. Can you imagine being this woman and being this embarrassed? The only thing we're thinking is, I just got to make sure no one sees me. I can't let anybody see me like this. And it says that they took her and tried to trick Jesus. So they said, now the law of Moses commands us to stone such woman, and you know the law, and if you don't do this, you're going to be in trouble. So what do you say? Then Jesus does what only Jesus can do, because he's the man. Because what Jesus should have done by the law's sake is say, you're right, ka-clow, and hit her with a stone. But what Jesus did was go to the place that they brought her to. What Jesus did was get down in the muck with her. Because Jesus didn't draw. Do y'all see this? Jesus didn't draw on them, or Jesus didn't pick treasure and say, this beautiful part of the temple was lined in gold. I can ride on this. He got down in the dirt. It says Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground in the dirt. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up. And I can just picture this, because I love to look at the Bible and kind of act it out. I can just picture him be like, have y'all read what I said? Right? He said nothing to him yet. He just looks down at him and says, and then he said, let him who is without sin be the first one to throw a stone. And at this point, you're mad at Jesus. If you're one of those scribes. Yeah, but Jesus, I didn't do that. You know what always comes to my mind when I start pointing fingers at everybody else? Satan didn't get kicked out of heaven because he had adultery. He got kicked out of heaven because of pride, because he wanted to be like God and tell it like it is. He wanted to be God's equal. That is what we do when we try to be the religious police. And then he bent down back in the dirt. So interesting. And then he rode again on that ground, that same dirt. And I love this, because the older ones were like, oh no. If you get all the dirt on me, I got 55 years. I got 38 years of dirt. You gonna be right in a while, Jesus. Right? I'm out. The young ones, it took y'all longer because y'all ain't got as much dirt as me. But it says, one by one, beginning with the older ones, they left. And so she was alone standing with Jesus before him. Now, not being crude, not being gross, but you need to know this. Some of you feel this way as you came in today. I'm going to come, but I'm disgusting and they can't find out what I am. If they find out what all's in my life, I'd be embarrassed. I'd never show up. I just hope lightning doesn't strike me down when I walk in that church. Some of you have actually said that to me in the past. And by the grace of God, you're saved now. Come on, somebody. But this woman would have been standing in front of Jesus. Now, in this moment, why does Jesus not go, now you need a robe and you need to know that that's embarrassing. You need to know that we got to cover this mess up because I'm not trying to look at this. You need to know that this is disgusting. Why didn't he call out the sin? Because that's not what Jesus was. It's contrary to popular belief. Jesus did not worry about her sin in that moment. He asked one question as they stood up and she's standing before him, disgusted. Disgusted with herself, and in real life, we would have walked by and gone, okay, this is weird. And he's looking at her and he says, one question, has no one condemned you? The translation I grew up reading says, where are those that have accused you? And I love her answer. Well, there's no one, Lord. Whew. Not realizing that they're poor, blind, and naked. You know what this woman has that I don't a lot of times? She knew she was naked. Come on, listen to me. She knew she was naked. She was standing up and there wasn't nobody that didn't know she was naked and what she had been caught in. She had the capital A adulterer above her head. And Jesus standing before her, standing in front of her, no one else is still standing there, says, well, I hear what you're saying, but you need to do better. I can't believe what you've done. So if you go start acting better and do this and do this and do this, and then you come back to me in a year when you've got your act straightened up, then you might be able to have a relationship with me. Is that what he said?
No.
So why do we?
Amen.
Because I don't know if I'm crazy or not. Sometimes I know I am. But when it comes to Jesus, I feel like he'd be disappointed. Not mad. Just crushed in his spirit because we've taken the religious beliefs way too serious and not acted as our Savior acts. Because he says, neither do I condemn you. I don't hold your past against you anymore. I don't hold over your head all the dirt because everybody can see it. Now that I've not condemned you, now that you can receive me, now that you know that there's hope for the future because you have life in me, now leave your life of sin. Not before you come in here, you get it straightened up. Now you leave your life of sin. Now you change. And y'all, the change doesn't ever stop. It's a continual process day after day after day that I continue to walk with Jesus. But now I leave my life of sin. And I just came in here today to tell you guys something. That I don't know what yesterday looked like for you. And I know for a lot of you, you're disgusted with your life. I know that you never thought you'd be divorced 3 times. I know that you never thought you'd lose your kids. I know that you never thought that you would start drinking so much that you didn't know what you could do and the only way you felt better is just to have another drink. I know that some of you feel so deeply insecure that you hate yourself, but I need you to know that through all of that mess, God still sees the gift in you. God still sees the goodness because God knows that he made you in his image, and if you ever received his name, if you ever received his life, if you ever received the reckless love of God, everything would change. Oh, you still have your scars. Those don't go away. But you can begin to walk in new life. And by the way, in this house, we'll walk with you.
Amen.
We're crazy. We'll walk with you. So this is what I want to tell you. I believe there's many people in this room, many people, who you might have done a religious thing. You might have gone through some motions, but the reality is, you know you're this lady. And you know that you need Jesus more desperately than you need anything else in your life, because the only hope for you is for you to stand up and say, I don't care if they know that I'm pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I'm that anyway, so they might as well find out. What you stand up and say, Jesus, have all of me, he then covers, and you're washed white as snow. You're clean. You're brand new in Jesus. So I'm asking some of you to do something crazy. I'm asking you to be bold. I'm asking you not to worry about what someone else is thinking and receive the good new life of Jesus Christ right now. I'm asking you to be a treasure hunter in your own life and let Jesus change you from the inside out right now. I want you to be bold. I don't want you to be afraid. But if you are afraid, maybe you should just stay and maybe you should just wait. But take some of my boldness with you and stand up and say, I don't care what anybody else thinks anymore. I need Jesus. I don't care if they know I'm a wreck. I need Jesus. I don't care if they know I got dirt. They got dirt too. I need Jesus to change my life. I choose to follow Jesus. Come on the count of three, I want somebody to stand with me that needs to follow Jesus and make him Lord. 1, Jesus loves you so much. 2, he can't wait to walk with you every day. Come on, somebody stand up. 3, let's stand to our feet if you need Jesus right now. Come on, stand up and be bold. Who is it? Stand up right now. Stand up right now. Come on. Come on, I believe there's more. Who else is going to stand and say, I'm ready to follow Jesus? Come on, come on, come on. We can clap better than that, 4 points. Come on. If you ain't clapping and you're upset, this ain't the church for you. I can promise you that. Because we celebrate when people get saved in this place. Come on. I want to tell y'all something that are standing right now. There's a bunch of you, so don't worry about it. I'm so proud of y'all. I mean, listen to me. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm 175 proud. 250. Do y'all know how much guts it takes? So proud of y'all, man. So amazing. Come on, somebody. We can clap better than that. I'm so proud of y'all. Man. So amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Here's what I want y'all to know. I don't believe a prayer saves you. I believe what y'all did right there. The Bible says if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, I'm saved. Y'all just confess with your legs. Come on, somebody. I can lie to you with my mouth, but y'all just got up. Here's what I want y'all to know. I'm talking to every single one of you that are standing and the ones that's already sat back down. We want to walk with you. We want you to know that we might be farther along on this journey, but we still got dirt. And that all of us struggle. But that's why we do life together. Because we lock arms and we say, you know what? We're crazy, but we're going to change the world together. Because I got neighbors and friends that don't know Jesus, and that's what it's all about. New life, new fellowship, new hope in Him alone. Because all of this is about Him. This ain't about a man. This is about Him. Do y'all agree? It's about Him. So here's what I want y'all to do. They gave y'all a clipboard. Y'all fill that out. As soon as service is over, take it to next steps. Because we want you to not just stop here, but to begin your new life in Jesus. Come on, can we all stand and celebrate together what God's done in this place? Come on. Come on, we can celebrate better than that. Let's celebrate what God's done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Man, so awesome. I'm going to get back up after we sing this song, but this is what I want some of y'all to do. I don't believe that message was just so people could receive Christ as Savior. But for some of you, I think it was to change your perspective. How you perceive is how you receive every man, woman, and child far from God. Every single one of them, with zero exceptions of the 8 billion people in this world, is a precious child to God. And I believe the only ones called are the ones willing. Can I say that again? I believe the only ones called to do something about it are the ones willing to do something about it. It's amazing what a smile will do. It's amazing what a hug will do. God has uniquely gifted and called you to something. It may not be to talk into a mic. Who cares? The world ain't gonna be changed through a mic. The world's gonna be changed through one on one on one on one, and multiplication takes place by new life in Jesus. What you perceive is what you'll receive. See the treasure in every person that you live, work, and play with. And God will change their heart. So Jesus, we love you. We thank you. We thank you that you would leave the 99 for us. That in the middle of my stupidity, in the middle of my hatefulness, in the middle of my zeal in religiousness, in the middle of all of that, you give me new eyes with salve. You break my heart and let me see that some people may be anointed differently than I'm anointed, but it doesn't mean they're wrong. It just means they're different. If in Jesus' name they're preaching the gospel, I'm for them. And so, God, I just pray blessing on churches all around the upstate, because we're on their team. If they're preaching Jesus, we're on their team. And I pray that each person in this room, that you'll change our perspective and that you'll change our lives so that we can honor and glorify you above all. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Y'all sing with us.